there, this is Laurieette Hughes of Four Leg Rehab Incorporated, your place for online canine rehab education. Now, in today's training video, and it has been a million years since my last, this isn't a video, it's been a million years since my last audio, it seems. So, in this audio is another installment of the business and marketing side of things, and this one is all about what makes for a successful business partnership. So, I found a number of articles online and compiled them all and added a little bit of my own to it, and this is what I've got for you. So, away we go. So, number one, I've got 8 points here. Oh, and if you hear some snarfling in the background, that's the Borzoi who's come to help. I apologize. She wasn't invited. She's here anyways. Number one is a shared vision, mission, and passion for the business. Okay, so finding and working with a business partner can be challenging, where business partners triples or quadruples that aspect. But it's often necessary to help to take a business to the next level. Ideally, you want a partner who is just as passionate about the business as you are. A shared vision for the organization and the desire to strive towards the same long-term goals is important. Equally important is to share similar values, entrepreneurial spirit, working styles, compatibility. And why is this so important? Because a great business idea can easily be damaged by a negative business relationship. So you need to have a shared understanding of the desired evolution for the business and for the partnership that it's necessary to get the most out of this collaborative venture. If all of the brains aren't going in the same direction, in the same way, then problems are bound to arise. The motives for each partner can be different. The overall objectives and methods, however, need to be the same. So, here, it's important to take the time to discuss your company's visions and mission with your partners. Look for what energizes and motivates each of you about the business. Give it a purpose and define what the ideal business would look like. Okay, number one. So that's number one, was your shared vision, mission, and passion. Number two. Now, ideally, you would want to build a partnership based on history and trust. Some say that this is by far the most important item on the list, the one thing from which everything else will flow or won't. Great business partners almost always have had prior history of working with each other. The more closely they've worked together, the better. If you think you found a promising person to pair up with, but you don't have that kind of history, then get it. Work on small projects together, or at the very least, spend some time together before you agree to do anything. You don't want the first time that you have to work through a disagreement to be a crucial point in the early life of your company. Jumping into a business venture with a virtual stranger can be a bad idea. Similarly, trying to start a business with someone who you've only known as a friend, not in a business sense, could also be a mistake. So before launching into a full business undertaking, make sure that you've worked with your potential partners on smaller business deals and undertakings prior to a large one. There are aspects of your partner's style and attitude that you might not see until you've interacted with them on a professional level. So take the time to feel that out and develop a sense of trust with one another before sinking money and time into a bigger project. And what I find fascinating about that is my first set of business partners, I kind of knew as clients, and I think it was like the second time they brought their dog in. They brought up this idea. By the third time rolled around, we decided we were going to go into partnership. So we really didn't have this, but that partnership lasted 19 years. which is amazing, period, from what I understand, talking to lots of other people. But, okay, I guess if you really have to think about things, this is maybe a smarter way. We maybe got lucky. But, okay, that was number two. So you were building a partnership based on history and trust. Number three, take into account personality and knowledge factors. And that can be industry knowledge, strong work ethic, stamina, previous business experience, compatible vital skills, and just even compatible styles. So, first of that, we're going to talk work ethic. So, having the same work ethic is a key ingredient to a successful partnership. And it's hard to notice this trait unless you've had some other working relationship, previous working relationship with your partner. You want an equal commitment to and willingness to make the business work at all costs. So really, be that hours worked, perhaps lack of financial compensation to get things going, willingness to pitch in wherever needed. All of these things are really important. The work ethic is important. And I always remember the place my husband worked before starting his own business was as a, and when he was working as a heavy duty mechanic, is his manager, and he was very upfront about, he says, I like hiring farm kids. So I look at the resume, they've gone through the school, they've done the training. He says, but I will hire a farm kid over a city kid any day. Now, don't take offense to this, city people, but what he had noted is the farm kid work ethic was above and beyond. And if you think about it, it's like if I look at this last cold snap where we've had minus 40, both my husband and my son were out for multiple hours of the day, feeding the cows, making sure, well, we had three waterers that froze up, so making sure then the cows had somewhere to get water, fixing that stuff, that kind of work ethic is invaluable. So in a partnership, you want to make sure that all of the partners have a work ethic that's going to be compatible. You can't have one lazy person and one busybody, because that's going to lead to troubles on down the road. Okay, the next one in this category is stamina. Alrighty. You can be intellectually connected with a person. You can have complementary skills, have different or same background, and so many more connectors that traditionally speak for good partnership. The one thing that you cannot buy and is not easy to find is stamina. And stamina comes into play when things get tough, which is when you need your business partners the most. In these moments, there will always be a push and pull relationship between the two business partners. Now, this is healthy, helps you get through the tough times. However, if that determination, strength, and resourcefulness to get through the tough times isn't balanced, then it's hard for the partnership to survive. So stamina is one of the trickiest qualities to test up front. But it really can be a make or break quality. So that might be just in knowing your other partner, knowing what they've been through, and taking that into account. All right, the next subcategory here is industry knowledge. So here, having a firm understanding of the industry you are working in is critical. So not understanding the industry can get a business into trouble. And, you know, for example, legalities, best practice, who are the players in the field, where to source knowledge or resources from, or even items for purchase, if something like that. So you really need a partner that can hit the ground running. If you've already started your company, you likely don't have time to teach a new partner the basics. So somebody that is coming from inside the field is likely a worthy consideration for a partner. Okay, compatible skills. You probably don't want two partners that have the exact same leadership styles and personalities, but you want people who are compatible compatible with each other. So, for example, between you and your potential business partner, who is the dreamer who likes to start late and work until 3 a.m.? And then who is the motivated morning person who can handle the emergency customer calls before sunrise? Who is the person who is fastidious about finances? And who is the one who has natural charisma and sales ability? Okay, so if both business partners have the same skills, you're probably going to need to seek outside help. But that can cost a lot, especially in the early phases, in terms of time, money, synergy, lots of other assets that can be in short supply in that startup. So compatible skills, something that balances out what you lack, and that partner brings into the mix is a worthy thing to consider. Number four is the ability to have hard conversations, talk about money, and handle disagreements. Communication can make or break a partnership. You have to tell people what's on your mind in a direct, straightforward manner because people can't read your mind. You have to talk. Sometimes you'll have good ideas and sometimes they will be downright terrible. And a business partner that is direct can bring honest feedback to any situation. You don't have to guess if they said what's on their mind or how they feel about it because they will tell you. Every business is better when partners are direct with one another. So make it a rule that each can approach the other when something needs to be addressed. Don't be afraid to talk about the difficult aspects of business and to fight it out a little bit when needed, because it's important not to let bad feelings build and fester. You cannot shy away from discussing money, assets, fears, and concerns. These topics are essential, both for personal ventures and professional ones. So in the case of business partnerships, you need to be on the same page as one another in order to work through difficulties and plan effectively. So here you really do need to think about and or regularly schedule sit down times together. Once a week is needed in some situations, but minimally it should be once a month. And this will allow everyone to come with their agenda. It's always best to talk about what you'd like to see for the business and be positive. Present a plan to change as you see it, and that gives everyone something to work with and respond to. Alrighty, so that was your communication piece. Five. Here we want to define the roles for each partner. So, come to the partnership with diversified business skills, identify the strengths of each partner, decide who is the real leader is, and this gets qualified later on here, with respect to the various tasks and business areas. Okay, so the most important thing to look for in a business partnership is a complementary skill set, not an identical or similar one to what you already possess. The key to knowing what to look for is having an accurate and impartial understanding of your own strengths and weaknesses. If you're a big picture person but could use a hand when it comes to the mechanics of operating a successful business, then look for a partner with a proven track record in managing similar companies. Experience can speak volumes. So if you're a first-time founder, look for a partner look to partner with someone with previous success. Diversified business skills are critical when selecting a business partner. The partner should have the ability to take on different tasks with their separate skill sets and cover core competencies of the business. Because partners join forces for a variety of reasons and expectations. Sometimes the strengths of each individual may be overlooked. The most obvious strengths will probably be recognized. However, underlying strengths, when brought out, can often make a big difference in a long-term motivation, commitment, and success. So bringing out and utilizing the strengths of the individual within the partnership will add to the motivation, the energy, and the odds of long-term success. So make note of your personal strengths and ask your partner to do the same. Then sit down together and discuss how you can apply these to the business. Okay, and after that, so next step is to identify the roles of each business partner. Because once you know your and your partner's strengths and weaknesses, you figure out your role. So the job role is a lot like a job description in that they carry the connotation of responsible for, followed by a list of tasks or outcomes. So this is what partner A is responsible for XYZ, right? Lack of clarity around the job role is a major source of frustration and disappointment in many partnerships. Clearly define the tasks you will perform and have your partner do the same. And from this, you can each be accountable to yourselves, to each other, and to the business. Where there are uncovered tasks, contract or hire a specialist. The objective is to make sure that all jobs are covered and accountability has been assigned and acknowledged. You likely have to think about who, and I don't really like this, comes from the articles I read, but it is to decide who is the real leader. So I qualified that on a particular topic or area of the business. Okay. In most successful partnerships, there's usually one visionary leader and one person who is more the whiz at execution. So the big ideas person and the get stuff done person. And both roles are crucial. A big idea without execution is not worth very much. However, there has to be some recognition that when the partners disagree on something, that one founder has the tiebreaker, or, and this is what I don't like, but I'm saying it anyways, the right to be at least first among equals. And I don't like that, so I put the qualifier in there in a specified area. So, for example, in my business, my partnership, I am not the final say when it comes to front desk operation and organization. I can have lots of ideas, but my partners have way more clout in that area, way more understanding of the mechanisms, the nuances. So if I come up with an idea and they think it's stupid, and they are agreeing it's stupid and they can point out, Lori, this is stupid, then they win. They are the first among equals in that. However, when it comes to the actual doing of the physiotherapy on the dogs, managing the therapist, looking at the what should be, you know, the actual therapy portion, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, as an example of, you know, how long should initial assessment be? Could we break our initial assessment down into a, because we have such a waiting list. So one idea came forth was, what if we do split it? So you can do, because we could maybe get them into a 40-minute spot, but not an hour 20 spot. So what if we just did the assessment portion and we did short assessment portions only? And my feedback was that doesn't make sense because it leads to what I call dissatisfied clients and crappy care. So if you do your assessment, you're like, okay, here's what I think is the problem. Well, what should I do about it? Well, you got to come back next week. I can't tell you about that now. We only booked a 40-minute for that. So I am the first among equals in that category to say, no, we're not doing it that way. So I get to be the decider, the tiebreaker on that kind of an aspect. So first amount equals, but in specified areas, and our partnership needs to acknowledge that each person has their specified area that they are kind of the grand poobah or leader of. Alrighty, six. Support the partner's limitations. Understand each other's commitments. Ensure each partner's needs and expectations are addressed. Okay, So it is of great advantage not to have other commitments tugging at you when you launch a new venture. However, that's rarely the case. And quite frankly, it can be quite reckless to, say, quit your day job before figuring out whether your new venture is actually going to work. Each person in the partnership has their own reasons for being in the partnership. And sometimes people seek a partner for capital, sometimes expertise, sometimes for connections. These are not always expressed, yet they remain as underlying expectations. So if the expectation isn't met, they can be strained. Because each person's expertise, motivation, and personality are different, it's important to have this discussion before anything is actually committed to contractually. So find out what your partner expects from you in the partnership. Share your expectations as well. Have a plan for when personal or business circumstances or interests change. So when needed, expectations can be readdressed. Identify the partnership's limitations. So limitations can be in an area, strategy, product service development, marketing, sales, personnel and operations management, financial management, administration. So wherever they are, it's important to identify them early and have a plan to manage them so they don't get out of hand. So basically coming up with a list of what does the business need? Okay. And then what are the limitations for the partners to fill those? Like, who's going to fill it? And if none of you can fill that, what are you going to do? Okay. Look at the areas that are problems for you. Chances are these are areas that could benefit from some extra support. If you think you know, can afford it, if you think you can't afford it, then you might have to think a bit again, because you can't afford not to support your limitations. These gaps are where the value of the business can slip away little by little. So don't let that happen to your business. And because individual needs and expectations can change over time, a clear dissolution or modification plan needs to be in writing also. So if you are in a partnership, you need a partnership agreement. If you are looking at creating a partnership, you need to think about these things. What would you want in a partnership agreement? And you can likely Google that, get some ideas of other partnership agreements, but this is something you should talk about. Okay. 7. Be authentic, thought-provoking, but willing to compromise and listen. So, compromise. Good business is about playing to your strengths and knowing yourself well enough to understand when to stand your ground and when to walk away. And the same applies to a good business partnership. You have to pick your battles and be yourself, but also understand that you are working in cooperation with another. The only way for a partnership to operate successfully is for all parties to be respectful of the other's ability to contribute to the partnership and bring something valuable to the table. So don't be afraid to stand your ground, but also pay attention to the topic. Is it really all that important to you? You can speak your mind, but also be prepared to bend as well. So it's important to be able to compromise. Okay, and then the other aspect is listening. And one of the most important qualities that all sides of an effective business partnership must embrace is listening to one another. And this may seem like common sense, but if you think about business owners and entrepreneurs in general, they are often outspoken individuals and leaders in their respective circles and fields. They're full of ideas and thoughts, and usually they like to talk. So most of them won't realize that they're not listening when they're passionate about a topic. But in the end, however, the most successful entrepreneurs can master the skill of listening, and the best business partnerships are based around good listening skills and mutual respect. So this one is something really just to take into account and recognize that if you're passionate, you're going to also have to learn how to listen. Okay, 8. This is the last of the categories. 8 is set company goals, be dedicated to growth, and think about your plan for happily ever after. And some of this has been covered before, but it seems like a good final section. So the ideal way for partners to approach goals is to start with goals for the company, then each create goals for themselves. So individual goals should support the company goals. Goals should measure and support expectation. Writing these is especially important for partners. So who really wants to align yourself with someone who has short-term vision in mind? You want someone who is looking 5 years down the road. Oh, did I say that all wrong? I might have. Let's try it again. So you do want to align yourself with someone who has a long-term vision in mind. My bad if I said that wrong. Now that I'm thinking about it, I have no idea what I said. Someone who is looking for like 5 years down the road, someone who's determined to find solutions to the many challenges and obstacles that can and will pop up along the way, someone who is invested in seeing it through. For your business venture to be successful long term, your partner needs to have the same level of dedication as you, as well as a growth mindset. Few companies last forever. Few founders can successfully navigate the transition from leading a small dynamic company to one that grows into a big player, employing dozens or even, hundreds. And in fact, the skills that lead to success in the first kind of venture are often the exact opposite of the kind that lead to success later. So you might also think about that if you are a partner and you're looking at growing or expanding, maybe you need to bring on a different partner later on in the business. Anyways, that was number 8. So basically, in conclusion, I personally believe that a business partnership is much like a marriage, and the business itself is the offspring of that partnership. So you wouldn't, or shouldn't, jump into a marriage without discussing some foundational aspects of the relationship. And you don't, or shouldn't, bring children into a marriage without a clear understanding of roles, expectations, plans, etc. So think carefully about the outcomes you expect from a business partnership and work hard to communicate those desires prior to even getting started. Put it in writing. This practice keeps all parties accountable for deals made and helps to avoid potential conflicts and misunderstandings. So once you've found the working relationship you feel confident in, stay focused on communication, a common vision, and creating an environment of mutual respect. These results could be well worth the time and effort. Whew. So there you go. What are we at? 28 minutes. I hope this helps some of you that are looking to start a partnership or strengthen the one you have, or even just as you're thinking about moving, changing, expanding your business, definitely some things to think about. So that's it. Until next time, cheers.